Welcome to the Irish Photography Podcast. Take control of your camera and develop the skills necessary to improve and master your photography. Join me, Dermot O'Donovan, John Myler and Darren J. Spoonley as they cut through the sometimes confusing jargon of photography to help you find your own style and decide what's best for you. A mix of educational, inspirational, honest and sometimes controversial content delivered in a unique, fun way from three of Ireland's talented photographers. Let's go.
Hello and welcome to another episode from the Irish Photography Podcast. I'm your host, John Myler, and as usual, I am joined by my two good pals, Dermot O'Donovan and Darren J. Spoonley. How are you, Dermot, today?
Hey, yo. How we doing?
Good, good. Darren, how are you today?
Hey, John. How's it going, boy? Absolutely wonderful. How are you, man?
I'm good. Guys, I've been thinking about this subject for a while, and I have been actually excited this week waiting to talk to you about this. Does a photograph tell a story? We've always heard that term in the photography business or the photography world. Does your photography tell a story? Photograph tell a story? I like to think that some of my photographs do tell a story. Some of them don't. But I wanted to throw it to you guys. Does a photograph tell a story? And have you got three images of yours that would be your favorite image? And could you tell me a little bit about one of them? And I want to throw that at you, Dermot. Straight up.
So why do you want me to go first?
I don't know. Why not?
Why can't I go first?
So if you have to pick three images from your catalogue, which I presume was very large at this stage, yeah, tell me what they are and give me a brief. Now, I'll time you on this one, okay? Because this is the kind of subject that we could talk about for a long time, Stephen. But tell me a brief story about your favourite one in less than 2 or 3 minutes. Okay, Take it away, Dad.
Okay, I'm going to start from my third favorite to the second favorite to my favorite picture, right?
Perfect.
And that's the way I'm going to do it. So I'm saving the best for last. Even though, to be totally honest with you, I love them all very, very much. Okay? It's like choosing your child. So I thought about this, right? And first and foremost, my mind was going crazy on which to choose. And I couldn't, you know, like I said, it's like choosing your favorite child. Immediately, my head went to my trip to Isle of Skye last March. Mm. And although, yes, I got some fantastic images and I loved a lot of them, I didn't choose a single one of them. All my pictures have came from the lovely land of Munster. All three.
Excellent. Very good. Right? Interesting. Can't wait to hear what these are, no?
So, in third place is a photograph that I took of Skellig Michael.
Lovely.
Now, I'm going to give a quick spiel about it, just like 30 seconds. The photograph was taken on a boat trip after a scuba dive down in Valentia Island. And we were coming away from the Skelligs, and it was an absolute fantastic dive. I had my 70 to 200 on, and whatever way, there was all these gannets flying around like mad up in the sky. And I was like, this has got to be a shot. This is here. And there was no sunset, there was no sunrises in the morning time, but it was very moody. So straight away, I just banged off as many shots as I could. And yeah, this one just came in. It came flying
excellent.
In. So I was delighted with that image.
I actually know the image you're talking about, and it is a great image.
Yeah, yeah.
And number Thank two. You.
Number two is a photograph from 2 Mile Gate. Okay, this was taken, I'd say last year. And this funny thing about it, because it was taken at the time where I went into my rut. And we talked about my rut only an episode or two ago. And it was taken in that time period. And it was a sunrise shoot that went bad. But and we talked about this in previous episodes as well, saying that a photographer, does he take the picture or does the scene present itself to him? Well, I...
Jeez, you got it right this time. You got it wrong actually when we did the episode. Sorry, go on, yeah.
Thanks, Darren. So I made the most out of the scene because the scene didn't present itself to me. I took the picture. I'm taking all the credit. Now, Mother Nature was great to present some of it to me, but I created that picture. Now, the shot itself was taken at a sunrise, but there was absolutely no sunrise. But the colours in the sky were actually fantastic, and they're very pastel. And I did a lot of things right on the morning. And I think I actually have a YouTube video up about it, and I did my whole mirror lockup and everything. Right, so I'm going to move on to my number one shot.
Okay, now before you tell us about your number one shot, okay, I told you before we came onto this podcast that we're going to kind of do a keep Barry on it and see could we predict each other's favorite photo, okay?
Okay.
So you're going to say it. Now, I know our listeners can't see this, but I wrote down what I think is your favorite photo. I may have it completely wrong. All right, Darren, did you write down one?
I did, yeah.
Okay, go for it, Dad.
The Cliffs of Moher on St. Patrick's Day in 2017.
Where was that thing?
I got to hold that up there so you can see. There you go.
Here's mine.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
You got it. Okay. Well, that photograph is one of my more, dare I say, iconic shots. A lot of effort went into that photograph. I thoroughly believe that. It was a hard climb down. The weather wasn't the best at the time, and I could even see these two kind of storms coming in from the distance. So I climbed down. It's about a 15-minute climb down. And it's grand to get down. It's easy enough, but it just gets a bit hairy at one or two spots. And the actual hardest part at the bottom is only about... Oh, sorry, beep that. We're going to have to beep that out. That's a euro to the jar. Damn it.
You're all right.
That's my first one.
Eight episodes in. You're not doing too bad on so many episodes.
That's how excited you were.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I did it. Damn it. I'm sick.
Go on anyway.
it's only about 10, about 10 feet from the bottom. It's all this kind of shingle stone. So just be careful if you do decide to go down there. Just be careful at that point. But anyway, moving on. So you get down to the bottom and you start walking along this kind of stony beach, and it's all these kind of life-size boulders. They're absolutely massive. The storms blew away, and all of a sudden the sun was starting to set, and next minute the sky just lit up all purple and orange and yellow. It's just absolutely amazing. All these pastel colors in the sky. So I set up my tripod nice and fast because I was a bit behind on time. And the waves were just coming in nice and fast enough. So I decided, right, I'm going to shoot this at a long exposure. So I popped on my Lee filter 10 stop and just to open up the shutter. And I didn't have time to do an exposure check, which you would normally do on your phone or your chart. John, you have a VSP video up about the chart as well. So I didn't have time to do it. And I swear to God, I just pressed the shutter button and I just counted in my head, just thinking what it would be. And I released the shutter and there it was. Boom. Absolutely excellent. Perfect. And that was just pure pox. Absolutely pure pox. I tried to do it in my head. I was getting it wrong. And then it just came up and I just got lucky. But the conditions were right on the evening. It was absolutely perfect. I couldn't have asked for a more perfect night. And like, it's funny because there was all storms in the distance and I was thinking on the way down, this is going to be absolute crap. But once they had just kind of flown by, the sky just opened up to just amazing a vista in front of me, you know.
Dermot, it's a stunning image. It really is a stunning image. Have those three photographs, have you got them printed and framed at home?
Well, the Cliffs of Moherhun actually sits right above my fireplace, and the 2 mile Gate one is in my hallway on the left-hand side as you come in, and then Skellig Michael is above my father's mantelpiece in his house.
Super.
I've yet to print that one out, and that's one thing I actually look forward to doing a bit more this year is printing.
Yeah.
Because your man Kevin down in the bigger picture, he's going to look after me and he's going to do a few pictures, so I look forward to doing that.
Because I've been feeling lately that a photograph's not complete until it's printed. That's the way I've been looking at my own images lately, so I actually have a lot of my images but printed off. But moving on, Dermot, they're cracking images and they're all stunning. What about you, Darren?
It's an interesting one, John. When you asked me this question, I said, okay, what am I going to choose? I mean, you know, as Dermot kind of said it there, it's kind of to decide which is your favourite child. But I have a lot of images over the years, but you said about, you know, which one tells a story. Some of them would tell a story in one way or another, either from my point of view or from the person viewing it. So it depends really on who it's subjective, you know, and that's the whole idea, I suppose, from photography. But anyway, I digress. So I think one shot that I would pick is one that I'm actually going to shoot in a couple of weeks when I go back to the States. It's a road in America, and believe it or not, they actually do have twisty roads in America. It's not all just all straight. But there's a place there in Door County, and it's called Highway 42, and it's a road that is very, very windy. And when you use a long lens, you suppress the whole scene, a bit like the Dark Ages, but you can see the whole thing coming through in regards to it. And I took the image once, and I absolutely loved it, just like that, Dad. I said, okay, what's it going to be? Bang, took the shot. That was it, done in the first shot. So I'm looking forward to going back there in a couple of weeks, because it's going to be in autumn or fall colours, as the US would call it. So hopefully that should be a good one, revisiting that.
Super. Another one, sounds great.
Again,
I mean, John, sorry. Or Darren, sorry. Is that one you, on your L panel? I remember.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I know the one you're on.
I put that one down in the bottom center because it kind of dragged the eye up through the panel. But yeah, so that was that image, and I'm looking forward to doing that. The second one, and again, these aren't in any particular order, I think, like unlike Dodd's ones, is one photo that I've actually never shown anybody. And it's a photo that I got from myself. So I'm from Cork, everybody knows that, I think, at this stage. And I got a present from my wife of a flight lesson over Cork City, but I don't want to learn how to fly, but I said, okay, hang on, I might as well utilize the opportunity of this. So I contacted him and said, look, I have a gift voucher for a flight lesson, but I've no interest in learning how to fly, but could you take me up for a flight, because I want to take some photos.
Excellent.
So I organized it, and it was pretty cool, to be honest with you. I left at 6 o'clock in the morning. It was I was working with the guys, actually, and they were very good, because we were both looking at the forecast. I could have told them 2 or 3 days out. Booked it for a morning that was going to be clear skies, because what I wanted was to have the direct light coming in over Cork and lighting up Cork City. So started off, and I went off around from the Cork airport around the Old Head all along up the coast. It was mad looking at the areas that I'd normally shoot along the coast. Came up over Roaches Point, came up through the harbour, came right up through Cork City, and then obviously it was at dawn.
Sweet.
So the whole light was directly lighting up Cork City. So I took a photo there, and that's one that I actually got printed, and it hangs in my kitchen. I got it done on acrylic, so it's up on the wall, and I really like that. But again, that's a shot just for me. And then the interesting thing then for me is, you know, I go from my favourite shot out of my tree. So you seem to think that you're going to guess which one I have, obviously, since what we've been doing there. But
yeah,
this
so,
shot.
So I don't think I'm going to get it right after listening to your other two.
Well, this shot for me, of course, I threw in the unknown in the moment, in the middle. But this shot for me, I think you will probably both get, but I don't know, we'll see. It was one that didn't come easy, and it's probably the one that I worked the hardest for. And it was one that I was looking for month in, month out, and it took me 5 months to get the shot.
I know which one it is. And after picking something totally different, and now that you're describing, I know which one it is. Sorry. Go on.
Well, John's looking semi-smug there, so maybe he's after guessing this one. But so it took me 5 months to get the shot, and it was something that I pictured in my head, and it was great to be able to picture it in my head. And then when I actually saw it happening, it was exactly as what I was looking for. And what it was the moon rising over a castle. Well, it's a folly, but I'd call it a castle.
Oh, yes.
Fota Castle.
Fota, yeah.
Ah,
yeah. That's a while back, Darren, now. That's a while back, isn't it?
That's a while back, John, but it's one that I still, you know, it's the most I've ever done. I mean, 5 months in a row. And in fairness, actually, John Delaney, credit to him, came with me for 3 of those 5 months. And each month we were thwarted by the clouds. You know, you didn't have clear skies, or it was raining, or the conditions just weren't right. It was one where it was really hazy as well, right on the horizon, and I couldn't get the moon what I wanted it to do. So luckily one day everything came together. Like I say, the fifth month of it, went down with John, and bang, there was exactly what I had envisioned. And I took the shot, and, you know, it's something that sticks with me to now, because it was so difficult to get. But when I look at what I saw, I wasn't vlogging at the time, but I'd love to have been vlogging, because, you know, I took the picture, it was one photo, but of course you're always going to have some people go, oh, nice composite, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yes.
You know, so if I was vlogging back then, which is something that I want to revisit doing that shot, actually, because I took that photo when I had the Canon 70D, and I took it with a Sigma 70 to 300 lens, which was, you can buy it for $95.
Yes.
So I would love to go back down there and do it again, but vlog it.
That was back in the early days of the Munster landscape photography, wasn't it? Very early days.
Yeah, it was. Because Rodney O'Callaghan, it was the first time I ever met him as well, because I put a few posts out saying, okay, it's this time of the month again, whoever wants to come with me, come with me. And Rodney came down. That was the first time I ever met Rodney, actually, is when he came down to try and shoot that. So, yeah, that's one that I picked as probably my favourite of my tree. But again, you look at that picture, it's not going to tell a story, but it's a big story for me. So
for you, yeah. You know. That's a big part of it as well.
What did you think? Show me what you think.
Okay. No, I got it all Lars ways. I remember you were telling me you found a place beside the Gap of Dunloe, but wasn't the Gap of Dunloe. It was just beyond the Gap of Dunloe. I can't remember the area.
Oh, but you got it. The Hags Glen.
Possibly. And yeah, I remember the time
you were raving
about it at the time, and you thought it was one of your best with images Caron, taken
with,
there.
With Caron Toole in the background with the light coming through the top of it. Yeah, I love that.
Your drone had a brain fart that day, didn't it?
Oh, Jesus, yeah, man. I nearly crapped myself. Mm. I mean, the whole gimbal just started to flip out midair. And I actually thought, oh my God, what's happening here? I thought the whole thing was after falling out of the sky. And I'm looking up going, where's it gone? I couldn't see the thing. I could technically see it, but I couldn't see it. You know what I mean there. But yeah, so all of a sudden, then it just came back and I went, Jesus, it's still in the air. What's going on? Because I looked at the screen, it looked like it was going upside down and all around the place and everything falling over the sky. Yeah, which one did you think, Todd?
I actually thought it was the stars at Nohova.
The one I recently took.
Fabulous image.
Thanks very much. I like that. I like it a lot. But no,
that was with Mars.
Yeah, with Mars, and the light. That was cool. That was with Brian DeBarra. And again, another one from Munster Landscape Photographers, fair play. Hmm. He's actually probably one of the most underrated astrophotographers in the country. He's very quiet about it. I think he's really, really good. You should check out actually Brian DeBarra. He's really good.
Very good.
Yeah. John, lads, go on, tell us what you got.
Yeah, well, lads, they're very, very interesting. I suppose my three images wouldn't necessarily... They'd be my favourite images, but not necessarily my best images, if that makes sense. Because to me, when I was saying about having a story, I find sometimes that what we forget as photographers is how much of an impact our photograph may have on somebody else. Okay? I'm not sure too sure if either of you had experience on that before, but I've had a bit of an experience. But the first one I'm going to say is I took a photograph out in Skerries there, I think it was 2016, a sunrise, went out with my father. And I had it all set up, a bit like you, Darren, with the moon. I had the sun rising behind the lighthouse there up by Skerries, and it was a beautiful, beautiful composition. Got there early, and it was nothing but a blanket of a cloud.
I know where you're coming from, yeah.
Yeah, you know this shot, you know this image. Yeah, and there's nothing but, you know when you look up and it's just a blanket of cloud, there's nothing on the horizon, your shot's gone.
Yeah.
I was really, really enjoying the time I had with my father at the time because, you know, I'm living away from home now for a while, so it wouldn't be very often I get to see the folks. So when we do get up, it's quite special. So Dad came out with me for this photograph and the sun was starting to rise, nothing, couldn't see anything. I actually turned away and I was taking a shot behind my back, which again is something as photographers we forget to do, is look behind us. But Dad turned around to me and he said, yeah, my father turned around to me and he said, there's a gap appearing in the cloud. I looked up and there was a gap and it's very, very hard to explain the image other than it looks like what some people would say it's a gateway into another world.
It's like an oil painting.
Yes. But what happened with this image, which was... caught me by surprise, is I was getting calls, messages from people in Jersey. And then I posted up on Facebook and then I got loads of messages from people in Jersey. And then I got a message from the Jersey Post asking me, could they use the image on front of their newspaper? And
brilliant.
Yeah, it was brilliant at the time, but I hadn't got a clue why. You know, to me, it was a sunrise, Easter morning. Okay, you could look at the whole religious aspect of it and all that. But none of that dawned on me until somebody said it has the shape of Jersey Island on it. And apparently it does. That went on to getting a load of messages from people who said to me that they've stopped and stared and looked at the image over a period of time because they all saw a lot of different images within my image, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And it's only when you study it, you can see so much of it. One that jumps out at me, the Dodd, you won't remember this, I don't think. Darren, you might. Do you remember the kid's character, Alf?
Yes.
I remember Alf.
Do you remember Alf?
I do remember Alf.
When I look at this image, I can see Alf looking straight back out at me, and I'll show you lads later.
Were and you taking LSD today, yes?
Yeah, kind of. And then I'm only in from training, so I'm buzzing. And then there's a devil. Somebody pointed out to me that there was a devil in it, and there's a devil there. But yeah, that photograph stands out to me. I'm not too sure it was my favorite one, but it stands out because it is a fairly had a lot of impact on other people. The other one that I would have picked out was really briefly, and Dodd, you know this one, was a photograph of my grandfather's pipe. You know,
yes, it's
not a landscape image. You know, it's completely went away from a comfort zone. Why? I was very close to the grandfather, and unfortunately when he died, I was left the pipe, which he never left out of his hand, but my mother took it. And she found it very, very hard to give it to me. So I just said, I wanted this pipe, but then I also wanted to give it back to her as well, without having to give it physically to give her the pipe. So I came up with an image, and I took a lovely photograph on a lovely piece of bog oak. And it's a great, to me, it serves a great memory of my grandfather. So yeah, it's not a landscape image, but it really, really is a good one.
It means so much to you.
Yeah. It does. And you know, it's like you saying with your father. My mother has that image up over her fireplace at home as well. And when she looks up at us, the first thing she thinks of is her father. Like, you know, it's beautiful. And since then I've gone on to do other photographs which are create memories for other people. And actually, funny enough, one of them was actually an old camera box as well. But I suppose the one image recently enough, well, I suppose in the last 2 or 3 years, same place as you, Dad, is 2 Mile Gate. I'm not too sure if you remember this one or not. I call it the foggy jetty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the reason that means something to me was because, as you boys know, I went through a very bad stage of anxiety, and that was the first image that I took when I was coming out the other end. But what I'll never forget, and just a brief story, is I never forget driving to that place that morning. There was a fog on the motorway, you know, and for anybody who has suffered from anxiety or whatever, will know, like, you're out of your comfort zone, you start sweating, it's not nice. Even though you know nothing's going to happen, it's still not nice. But I remember pulling up into the car park there in 2 Mile Gate, and lads, I couldn't see 10 feet in front of me. It was so foggy. And wow, the sweat, yeah, I remember the sweats came, and I was very, very close to going home. But then I said, no, let's battle on through this. So I walked through it, and you know what that area is like. You know, it's walking through it at night time and dark is one thing, but walking through it in the dark in a very, very dense fog is very surreal. Never forget, I got to the far side, took my shot, I zoomed out to frame it with the trees, and as soon as I clicked that photograph and I got the image and I saw it at the back of my camera, I will always remember that as being the turning moment of me and my anxiety issues. So from that day on, I never had a fear of going back out into the landscape, which is something we'll talk about again in another podcast.
So you faced your fears, basically, and you overcame them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great success story. That's fantastic, John. Well done.
Mm.
Yeah.
So there were my three. So which one did you think I picked as my number one?
Go on, Darren. I'll leave you go first, buddy.
I had thought that you were going to have the dolmen.
Oh yeah, so this one.
Yeah, look,
did you,
Dolmen, look.
Yeah. That's another story. We won't go into that one now.
So, Dad, we both got it wrong, but sure, we both got it right too. High five, virtual.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we got it there. Yeah, bang. Yeah. Sorry,
guys. Will I add in a sound effect in post, or will you go? There we go.
There you go. Guys, look, that was an interesting topic. You're very good for sharing that. I'm sure people like to see the images that we've spoken about as well. But also, in another podcast, we might talk about our favourite image from images that we've seen that haven't been ours, that images that have
brilliant
inspired
idea
us and so on. And we'd love to see images as well from our listeners as well. We got a great feedback now on our Facebook page. So maybe if they're listening in, which hopefully they are, you might share on our feed what is your favourite or even your top three images, just like myself and the boys have done. Lads, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsor, and I will return to you guys in the next couple of minutes.
Today's episode is brought to you by Hainel Industries. Hainel Industries is one of the leading manufacturers of power products for camcorders and digital cameras. Having celebrated over 50 years in business, Hainel have an excellent reputation in research and development and a well-known history of quality products and excellent design.
And welcome back to the Irish Photography Podcast. Darren and Dermot, you're still with me, I hope. That doesn't sound good. That was too much of a pause there, boys. I thought you were definitely gone.
I was waiting for Darren to finish his Pringles because he's a skinny, fat person.
Just like Darren. You, Dad.
Yep. Flying guys, colours.
Guys, we're going to move it on. We had an interesting topic there to start talking about your favourite images and so on. But now, you know, I'm going to delve more into what your favourites are and your favourite landscape location in Ireland. And I'm going to go with you now first, Darren, for this.
Okay, this is an interesting one. I really enjoyed when I heard that topic was coming up because, you know, as being a landscape photographer, and that's all I do, I'm a one-trick pony. I'm kind of, you know, more into the landscape, I think, than you guys. And, okay, I'm from Cork. You'd imagine I'm going to say Cork, but I'm not. I'm actually going to say our neighbours. It was a close call, actually, to either side of me. I really enjoy shooting in Waterford. I love shooting along the Copper Coast. But from the whole diversity of what you have in one area, for me, it's Kerry.
And excellent.
There's a number of reasons why I like Kerry. I suppose, look, it's not just the case that you can go to Kerry and shoot one type of photo. You have pretty much every different type that you can possibly imagine from a landscape point of view. So, you know, you've got the whole different peninsulas. You've got the cliffs along there. You've got your sunsets, obviously, along there. If you go into the likes of Killarney, you've got the lakes. You've got woods. You've got waterfalls. You can go up the mountains in the Dingle Peninsula and Mount Brandon, and you've got your vista views. You've got the whole area all over, looking the whole wild Atlantic Way. You can see the islands off the coast of Ireland. You know, certain times of the year, which is right now, in fact, in Killarney, you've got the whole rut with the stags.
Yes, I don't know
if either of you guys have ever done that, but that's something that is, you got to do it, because just the sound of the stags alone is echoing through the woodland, and there's some beautiful areas in Killarney to be able to shoot them. And I think a lot of people come from all over the globe, really, I believe, to shoot those, because it's so hard to do it in different areas. And then again, you know, in the springtime, you've got the whole likes of the wild garlic that will sprout up around the woodlands that are there. You've got moss coloured woods. It's just a cacophony of a huge amount of areas to shoot with different type of things. You've got the bluebells, and now, even at the moment, in the autumn time, with the amount of trees that are there, it's just incredible. Mushrooms, you know, your whole looking at the forest floor and everything else, it's a photographer's paradise. You can get, no matter what it is, you can get mist on the lakes, you can go for sunrise, sunset, you can go shoot during the day. I really, really do love the whole area of Kerry, and I've gotten quite a lot of shots from there that I really do love, and some unexpected shots as well, which are ones that have come in the rain, you know. So it's incredible. You know, you've got the highest mountain in Ireland, the Carrontool, so along the McGillicuddy Reeks. So you've got, for the adventurer who wants to be able to climb those and go along the reeks, I've seen some beautiful shots there of cloud inversions, which is the posh name for fog. But when you're above it, you know, you're looking down at something which is incredible. So yeah, from a opportunistic point of view, in such a small area, from a landscape point of view, for me, hands down, it's Kerry.
Very good. And when you're talking cloud inversions, the first person I thought of there was our friend Yarrow Fagan.
Oh, yeah. Yarrow is unreal.
Yarrow
is unreal in regards to what he can produce from looking at Mount Brandon. And I do believe, actually, he has a shot that's been shortlisted in the Irish Light Contest.
Really? Really? Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, saw it today. It looked immense. Like it's top drawer.
Did you? It was unreal.
Yeah. Yarrow knows, but he gives the impression that he knows those hills at the back of his hand.
He does.
Actually, Darren, you know what? You just reminded me there, we were talking about the National Park. I have to bring your memory back to a few years ago when we were down in Killarney, and you remember we met up with Peter O'Toole. And I know Dermot wasn't there that weekend, but the only way, Dermot, we can describe it was like we were like two little boys trying to keep up with our dad. He walked through the national park that day, through swamps, and there wasn't a bother on him. We were falling over ourselves. We're falling backwards. Merritt, was a great day, Darren.
Do you know what? Just on that one point, actually, that was a very, very funny thing.
That was it.
just to set the context there for the listeners, right?
Yeah.
So we in Munster Landscape Photographers, it's a group on Facebook, and I organised a meetup down in Killarney, and I remember there was around 16 or 17 people came down to it, and John was one of those people, Kevin Foley was one of those people, Rodney was there, you know, Dave or Enrico Carpe, Higginbottom, Juggenbottom, whatever his name is, but you know, they were all there, and it was really a good opportunity for a lot of people to meet up, and one of the people that was there is Peter O'Toole, and Peter O'Toole is the park ranger in Killarney National Park. And I remember saying to lots of people beforehand, I'd love to be able to get out with Peter. Imagine the places he'd know.
Oh, I remember.
The places he'd go. And guess what? You know, they say, be careful what you wish for.
Oh, my God.
We met Peter and Oscar, his dog. And Peter goes, I'm just going down there to have a look at my boat if you want to come with me. I said, oh, yeah, okay, brilliant. Well, I went off with Peter, me and John, and we were lucky because Peter was walking through it like he was walking through a main street, but it was just incredible. It was marsh, it was bog, it was everything. And every step he knew where to speak, and he turned around to me and John and says, don't step there, step here. Don't step there, step here. And we were both struggling going through it, and he was just walking like he was walking down the main street. But the part that I found the best was Kevin and Dave, who were behind us on the other side of the river, saw we were going down, so then decided to come down after us, but without the guidance of the park ranger, Peter O'Toole. So we looked behind one stage, you could see the two boys' heads, and the next step was bang, they were gone into the rushes.
It was like Jack in the Box. It was literally like a Jack in the Box.
Yeah,
that was, that, I couldn't that be was happier funny. That it happened to a person like Kevin Foley.
No. No, it was so funny. And I remember, Darren, I remember saying to you, would it be the big tripod or the small tripod? And you said, I should bring the big tripod. We can't be going that far.
I know. Mother of God. But we, we got some nice shots down in the middle of it. And actually, that's actually an area that you couldn't normally get to.
I was just about to say that.
Because it was in drought. Normally, it's all flooded underwater. So, yeah, it was cool to go down there with Peter. But, yeah, be careful what you wish for. And, and just one other point outside before I close out in regards to why I like Kerry so much. Again, it's the other point of photography point of view. Night photography, you know, you've got the Dark Sky Reserve and Ballinskellig's and everything else as well. It's, you know, how many is in the world? 3, I think it is, or something like that, and we're one of them there. And I have taken some nice shots of the Milky Way. I've seen some beautiful shots of the Milky Way. You've got the whole old style of Kerry as well. So, you know, John Hooton has just released a book and all the photos and stuff like that of the old houses. Kerry, man. I mean, look, I'm from Cork, but I bow down. Kerry is the winner for me.
It's the kingdom.
Well, do you know, just thinking there when you're wrapping up there, Darren. Darren, it's going to come to you next, but we should probably just wrap it up and leave it at Kerry now. No, how do we follow that? Like,
no, oh, that's no problem. I'll follow it, but I won't follow it. I'll follow it with a funny story, but I'll follow it with natural beauty. Absolute natural beauty. Now, one thing before we move on to me is, did the dog do better than the two of you?
The dog was superb. He actually posed and gave us great compositions in our photos.
No, but I'm on about travelling through this spot and this spot. I bet you the dog didn't fall over once. I'd say the dog knew better than you.
Dermot, you don't understand. They were gone. We were running. They were gone. If we didn't catch them, we'd be still there now.
All right.
Right there.
Very good.
Your favourite location to shoot.
I'm going to bring you on an adventure. Is County Clare. Okay, but it's not just all of County Clare. I'm selecting County Clare as one spot, this one spot in County Clare. Now, the obvious choice for most people would think would be, the Cliffs of Moher. Granted, yes, it's my number one shot, but it's not my one favourite place to go. All right? My one favourite place to go in County Clare is heading out Loophead Drive. Okay? It's a big, massive peninsula. All right? So you can start loop what?
We're just looping our heads around.
Okay. I was there going, what the hell, man? The whatever you're taking today is looking good, guys. I'd start off in my Loophead Drive. You have an iconic kind of headland called George's Head in the town of Kilkee. Absolutely fantastic to photograph on a sunset. It's unbelievable. Not only can you photograph it from the land, but it gets even better if you have a drone. I have absolutely fantastic photographs from the drone from George's Head. Also in Kilkee, you've some fantastic restaurants for a bit of R&R and a great nightlife there also. So it's not just only about taking pictures. You can enjoy a bit of nightlife there also, with a very vibrant town. Moving on out Loophead Drive, guys, you're going to come to one of my favourite islands. It's called Bishop's Island. John, you and I, and Darren, you've been there also. A fantastic island to photograph. A lot of people here on... not on here, but on Munster Landscape Photographers would have photographed it, especially with a long exposure. It's a very isolated island in the town of Kilkee. Moving on out the Loophead Drive, we'll come to another island called Healy's Island. That is actually the longest island that I've seen ever in Ireland, to be honest. So it must stretch for about 2 miles, I'd say, but very skinny natural island. And you'll see that in the distance from a place called the Kilkee Cliffs, which was previously known as the Dunlicky Cliffs, where a lot of fishermen, I would have grown up as a child doing a lot of fishing there for mackerel. Another iconic spot. Heading on out the road, then you're going to come to a spot called Moveen East. This is the island, or kind of rock, singular rock out in the island that is in the shape of a human body part in the mid region, if that makes any sense. But it's a nice place to photograph. Myself and John went there one time, and I climbed down to the bottom. Do you remember that, John?
Yep.
And there's a sea stack over then to your right-hand side with a kind of an archway in it. So if you brought your 70-200, you could isolate that sea arch, and it's quite cool. And then around the corner then, you have that singular sea stack also.
Dermot, before you go any further there, I think when we were there the last day that we were saying it's this time of the year that's lined up now for a sunset, if I'm correct.
Is it?
I think so. We must check it again.
I remember you talking about it, but I can't remember. I'm not exactly the best planner yet, as you already know.
Yeah.
Darren, I think you were looking to say something there, were you?
No, I was just about to reinforce the fact that you don't know how to plan. So if John tells you that the sun is going to set there, go there tomorrow.
Okay, thanks. So I just basically said what you were going to say.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So it's okay. Good, you know, we're on the same wavelength. I think our listeners would as well be, yeah.
Yeah, like we got the same wrong shot together, so we got this.
True story.
Dave Woodland's going to bait the head off you if you say that one more time.
True story, Dave.
Moving on, anyway, so guys. And there's a few other spots going heading out Loophead Drive that you can pull off, but I'm not going to name every single one. But one of the more iconic pictures then that you can get is actually the Loophead Lighthouse itself. Now, it's very, very hard to photograph it from land. To get a composition there can be quite challenging. I've yet to see one picture from the land that I've been blown away by, and that's myself included, believe it or not. No, John, you do not have a picture that would blow me away from there. And if you want to prove me, and that's one challenge I'll lay down to you, since you laid down a challenge to me I won't talk about it now. I'm parking this for now because we're going to get off topic. Okay, yeah. But it is a drone shot that you're going to get from Loophead Lighthouse. And I've got one really good drone shot. Peter Cox has got the best drone shot I've ever seen from there. And there's a big, massive story behind that. And if you contact Peter, I'm sure he'll tell you. But he has the nicest drone shot of Loophead Lighthouse. And I would really encourage you even to go in and just take the tour around, because it doesn't cost too much and you get to go into the lighthouse and climb up to the top and have a look around. There's a few other spots then on the way back. Oh, would you look at that? Darren has just is showing the picture to us on the Skype cam. Is that what it is? Skype cam. Yep. Yeah, so what do you think of that picture, Darren?
I love it. It's the Atlantic Light. It's a book by Peter Cox. I bought two of them, but this one is all about his drone footage. Yeah, it's a great shot, I agree. Yeah. Stunning place, so I would agree with your choice along there. And I really love that little piece of the island that sticks out as well.
Yeah. And then just one last thing about that little trip that I've just brought you out there visually or virtually. If you come back through Kilbaha, there is a lovely restaurant there called Keating's. The food there is absolutely fantastic. I would encourage anyone to go in and just have a bit of food there. It's unreal. So that would be my little trip. My favourite place to go is Loophead Drive on the Wild Atlantic Way.
Excellent. That sounds good.
What about you, John?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've got to match that now, don't I, really? Well, I suppose my favourite place would be a lot different to yours, boys, being Darren talking about Kerry and your Loop Head. Well, not too far away from you there, Dodd, actually, been into Loop Head. The other side of that loop, I suppose, if you could call it a continuous loop, would be from Doolin up to Ballyvaughan. And along the stretch, as we all know, we have the beautiful Cliffs of Moher, and that's a beautiful area that I love to go to shoot quite often. And you spoke about having your favourite photograph from that area, Dermot. But funny enough, and ironically, we were there recently, and I have never actually walked that cliff face, that cliff edge, before. Yeah. And it was only when I was walking up with you there a couple of weeks ago that really my eyes opened to so many more compositions that are out there that I haven't actually got. And you know what? It's funny enough because it's a great place also to meet tourists and stuff, which we met recently. And we
Bruno!
Had a
banter with them.
Yeah, Bruno. And Bruno's actually been in touch and he sends his wishes to you. But yeah, and then like we did say when we were there the last day, we were going to walk from Hag's Head down to Doolin. Which I'm holding you to, by the way.
Yeah,
we'll do it some morning. So we have got Hag's Head. You get up to the visitor center, and then we go down to the iconic location where a lot of photographers go to now, which is where similar to where you were, Dermot, taking your favorite photograph. But also now there's Patrick Galvin, which is a member of Munster Landscape Photographers. He's doing an awful lot of shooting along that coast there, and he has got some cracking shots of waterfalls, small waterfalls, leading over the cliffs down towards the Doolin direction. And a bit like you were saying, Dodd, with the how do you get that actual photograph there is with a drone. Patrick's coming a long way with his photography over the last year, and he has put up some stunning images lately. But for me, that would be the area, and it leads into the Burren as well. Burren would be very much in my heart. I know Darren's probably going to break his heart laughing, but it is a great place to photograph lonely trees. You have the Dolmen. No, I'm not going to lie here. Dolmen is fine, but, you know, it's shot to death. I've shot it to death. Anytime I've gone back to Dolmen, I've tried to be creative. You know, I've got there is the winter solstice there on the 21st of December, which would happen at 4:20, as far as I know. And going
well,
by
what happens at the solstice? Like, what actually, what do I see?
Well, we could talk this for a long time, right? But in a nutshell, I was up there in February one year with a guy who was mapping out the area for a book, for a historical book on the landmarks. In the Burren, you'll see a lot of slabs pointing directly up, and they're actually marking out north, south, east, and west in different areas and so on. But he was also trying to figure out why the Dolmen is facing a certain area, what's to do with the sun position, the moon, and so on. I believe it's to do with a cliff face that it's facing, but through technology that we have now, I sat there one day with my daughter, and I went through the sunrise and sunset for the year. Nothing was lining up other than sunset, which would be the shortest day of the year on the winter solstice in December, the 21st of December. And that actually set right in the middle of the Dolmen, just before it goes below the far hill beside it on the horizon. I got it. It was a great shot. And I have contacted the historical department since about it, and they will neither hear, agree or disagree with the theory. I'm not saying it was built or positioned that way, but it is the only time of the year that sun will line up through the Dolmen, which is quite interesting.
And it sets at what time?
4:20 on the 21st of December. I've gone up twice since to get it, and it's been cloudy. Which brings me, Darren, to your favourite topic of black and white images, yeah?
Yeah.
The Burren is a good spot for the black and white images. Believe it or not.
I agree, it is.
You're going to set him off again, Jesus.
I just wanted to keep it together. Yeah. No, it is. Yeah, it's a good spot. I feel at home in it. I recently found St. Coleman's Cave up there as well, which is a cool spot. It's also, it's considered one of the dark skies. I don't think it's officially a dark sky area, but it is an extremely dark area and a great place for the astro photography, particularly up around the Dolmen area as well.
Is it safe up there, John?
Yeah, I think it's safe. There are any issues with it. You got Mullagh Mór up there as well, which is a great hike, you know, and the views from top of Mullagh Mór is outstanding.
How big is it, John?
Mullagh Mór, but the
whole Burren area.
Oh, I don't know. It's vast, you know, and every time I drive through, it just keeps getting bigger, Darren. You know, you think you've seen it all, but it just goes on. I'll give you one example, you know, and you may find this extremely funny. You might think I'm taking the mic. I was up there this year when I was prepping for a workshop, actually. and a lovely couple came along, and they were from Colorado. And they had said to me that the Burren was the most spectacular place they've ever seen. Now, to me, I was kind of going, what are they on from where you're coming from? But it just goes to show you what it offers to visitors who have never been in the area. It is a spectacular area. But what it does for me is it challenges me, the lads. I go there because it challenges my photography. You haven't got your big landscape image that you would get in Kerry or any other place. You will get your leading lines. You will get a lot of stuff like that. But it will challenge you and it will make you work for a photograph. So, yeah, that would be my favourite place to go currently. Have been up in Donegal. I liked it. Haven't spent enough time up there. But I reckon it's going to be another place that's going to be on the list for sure.
Oh, me too. I got to go back, Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, camper van style, just like the last time.
Yeah.
But it'll be grim. It'll be grim, though.
It's grim.
I'll tell you, another good spot, lads, was, again, I must go back, is Achill Island and the area, Westport. It's nice up around that area, too. But anyway, guys, look, we're going to wrap this up. It's been fun. I enjoyed our earlier topic on your favourite photograph, and I also enjoyed the laughs and the giggles about your favourite locations. But we are going to move on to the VSP now, which is our very solid product. Now, this is a bit unusual to the VSPs that we've had on in the podcast before, because if you're like me, I don't know if you are, maybe you're not. I have a little girl who likes to sit down in front of my iMac and watch Netflix from time to time. And then when John comes along to edit his photograph, zoom in to find any dust marks, holy be the whole, I find a lot of more dust marks on my screen, and there's spits and you name it, whatever.
Tatoes,
everything that's on the screen, which makes it a lot harder for me to look for any dust marks or anything else when I'm zoomed in quite close to an image. And funny enough, since we started doing the podcasts, I'm finding a lot more marks. So maybe that's a good sign because we're maybe having a bit of crack. But so my VSP for this evening is a spray to clean your screen. Okay. It's called the Juku spray, J-U-K-U spray. And is that it? Have you got it? You're showing me here on the screen here, Dermot. Is that what the Juku is? It?
It's not Juku.
It's just a screen.
It's a screen cleaner.
Yeah. Look, they're very, very important for us. We need crystal clear screens for when we are editing our photographs. And this is it's an all in one and it's an anti-static cleaner. Okay. You can get it in CompuBeats where I got mine. It's $9.95. It's very effective. Not much more I can say other than keep your screens clean, because there's nothing as bad as when you go through all your trouble of editing a photograph, you didn't zoom in or your screen was dirty and you missed out on your dust marks. It's also eco-friendly and biodegradable and so on in the solution. So it is quite good and robust. So that is my VSP. As I said, it's very short, it's very sweet, but it's very important. And therefore, I would actually give it a 10 out of 10, because if I hadn't got it, I wouldn't be able to see your faces on the screen, because it'll be full of must marks. Now, before I go, Dermot, I think you want to say something before we wrap it up.
Yeah. Can I just ask you one question on the VSP? Sorry, just before I go to say
if it's a hard question. If it's a hard one, no.
No. First of all, I'd like to say that is actually fantastic of VSP that you wouldn't think about. But own perspective, my children also seem to love chipsticks, and you saw me eating their chipsticks before we came on here, and they can get very oily. Spray, John, that you have, is it able to get rid of kind of the oily, greasy stains like as well?
Yeah, like it says we'll get rid of everything. Like it's
an all cleans chipsticks on the bottle.
yeah, it says keep chipsticks away. It eliminates dullness on all your screens, basically, and it removes away your smudge, dirt, dust, and fingerprints from screen. So imagine it would, Dermot.
Yeah, okay, that's perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right,
Dermot, you have something that you'd like to say, something you'd like to get off your chest or something, is it?
Yes, I would. And, Darren, it involves you.
Okay.
All right, so I got a phone call during the week, right, from the show, right? It says to me that trip up to the Canon EOS R day was our best podcast yet, and he was delighted with it, and he said it's absolutely fantastic. Now at the same time, he said call Darren Spoonley out, the one to practice what he preaches, okay? So get out of your comfort zone and challenge yourself. right? So you're a man who was always doing landscapes, and he said you need to start shooting portraits more because you did a great job.
I know who this is, I'd say. Go on, I do it my best Limerick accent. Go on.
So he said you did a fantastic job, and it's time you started getting yourself, because you need to practice what you preach and actually yourself to keep doing this and keep doing portraits and your praying mantises and your flowers or whatever you need to do. So you need to your wings or broaden your horizon, buddy, and get out there and show us whatever skills you have. So yeah, we're calling you out, buddy.
Darren, that goes on top of all the other challenges.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All the other things that I've done, to be fair, no, they have been in the landscape. And, you know, it's interesting because, we did the EOSR event, and I've never shot stuff like that before. I said that even in the podcast. But, yeah, looking at the images that I got, I can't wait to do something like that again. I think it was really good. And it was a whole different world for me as a landscape photographer shooting in controlled light, and we spoke about this actually on a number of episodes back, and that's all that was going through my mind when I was shooting there, is that this is the light, this is perfect, I don't have to worry about it, all I have to look at actually is where the shadows are going to go, which was a mad thing to, and I started thinking about that quickly. But yeah, okay, all right, we'll have to get Dave, thanks for that.
How do you know it's Dave?
I know who it is. Right.
That was David Woodland that rang me during the week, yes.
There you go, yeah. Thanks for that, Dave. Yeah, I'll have to try it there. We'll have to try and get something organised. But yeah, okay, yeah, cool for that. I'll try it, yeah.
Brilliant. Now, lads, before we go as well, there's one thing I'd like to say to our listeners. And, you know, our podcast has grown since we started. So we are in a position now that we'd like to welcome listeners to throw in a few questions that hopefully we can answer. And so we're going to call it our mailbag. Or, you know what, we might even throw that question out to the listeners to give us, to call us something.
Listener's mailbag.
What did
you
say,
Darren? Film bag. Back in the days when you get your films developed, you put your film in the film bag.
That is the most stupidest name I've ever heard.
Okay, let's just stick to mailbag.
I'm shooting that down right now.
All right.
I'm sure the listeners will agree with me. I'll put up a poll.
To see whether
this is the stupidest name in history of any segment of any show.
Vote for film bag. It's the future. Vote for film bag.
It's not the future. You just said it's the past.
Call it the mailbag.
You just said it was in the past.
Mailbag. Become different. Call it the film bag. Sorry, Guanyu.
Right, lads.
Film bag.
So if anybody listening to the show today or any other episode wants to drop us in a question, hopefully we can answer it. And you know what? Even if we can't answer it, we'll try and find the answer for you. So drop us an email to theirishphotographypodcast@gmail.com if you have any questions for us or even suggestions and so on. And we'd love to get you back. And we'll do a whole different episode, a whole podcast on listeners' Q&A.
We'll shout out to the people as well that ask us the questions, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Yep, yeah. We'll give them a good mention. So guys, I'm going to wrap it up. It was fun. As always, it's late here now, and I am going to my bed. I will catch up with you boys during the week. Dad, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Darren, have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you both soon.
Same schlange fall from me.
Yo.
Guys, talk to you soon.
If you've enjoyed the Irish Photography Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, guys, keep shooting.